Thanks so much. It is great to be with you. We have the difficult task of putting 32 years of ministry in Germany into 32 minutes today. So we're going to do our best. And it is Thanksgiving, so it's appropriate to have this theme of thankfulness. And as we thought about today and about what we'd like to share with you, we thought, well, it is Thanksgiving, but that's not the only reason to be thankful. We're told in the scripture to give thanks always and in every circumstance, to rejoice, to pray always, to give thanks always. And so these are things that we hope will be just encouraging you today. Of course, when we talk about 32 years, we're only just giving you the highlights. We're kind of touching very briefly on some of the things that God did in those 32 years in Germany. And it's maybe going to sound like everything was always perfect, and it wasn't. So I'll just say that right at the beginning. There were hard times. There were times of discouragement. Many of you prayed for us, even as we learned German and as we had some times that were really tough. Not every church that was planted survived. Not every person who came to Christ continued on with him. But there are many, many wonderful stories of God's faithfulness and goodness. And we've learned that not only is it God's will for us to give thanks always, but it does something in us. It changes us. It changes our perspective, helps us to focus on God and his character, his goodness, his faithfulness. And so we hope that that's what you'll hear today. And also that giving thanks, especially when things are not great, is an expression of faith. It's an expression of our faith in the character of God. And so we want to encourage you in that, whatever situation you might be in today, whatever part of your story. For one thing, it's not over yet. Whatever situation you might be in, you can give thanks because you know God is good and God is faithful. And we hope that some of our stories will encourage you and remind you of that today.
Good morning. Is it possible to see what's behind us up here? It's not. Oh, man. I'm going to have to get a rubber neck. Anyways, we'll just go to the next slide on the map. And so this is a big picture view of Germany. You see the neighboring countries of I was going to say Russia, but that's not quite so close. But France and Poland on the right-hand side to the east. And just to give you an orientation, when I have an aunt, her name is Della. She landed in Frankfurt Airport in April of 1955. I was born in March of 1955. So all of my life in the early years, I knew I had a relative in Germany. And eventually she kind of handed off the torch or the baton to us. And she met us at the Frankfurt Airport when we arrived July 31st, 1987. And within a few weeks, she went back to Canada to retire. She was there 32 years. This number 32 is kind of weird. Ruth and I were 32 when we arrived, and we were there 32 years. So it's kind of a funny collection of numbers. But we live, you see on this larger map, just when we first arrived, we lived in the city of Mannheim, which is about 80 kilometers south of Frankfurt. So just to give you an orientation. But if you go to the next slide, there's another map there, and this kind of highlights, is underlined Mannheim, which is in the middle, where we lived over 20 years. And to the north of that is Losch, a little city, a very historic city, just about 20 minutes north of Mannheim. And that's where a daughter church from the Mannheim church that we started was planted just 5 years ago. And then you see to the southeast is Heidelberg. So we lived in Mannheim many, many years, and then we came back to Canada. We then went back 5.5 years ago, and we helped start the church in Losch. And as I said, the church in Heidelberg was started in these last 5.5 years. When we went to Heidelberg, or we went to Germany, this is what we looked like. If you go to the next slide. So we give you permission to smile, to laugh. If I showed you my driver's license from even 1987, I've given permission also to laugh looking at that. I did not have it on this slide today. That was just to protect myself. But this is what we looked like 32 years ago when you sent us out. We were sent out from this church. Our commissioning service was in May of that year, and we left in July. So we landed on July 31st, 1987. We arrived back here in Canada on July 31st, 2019, 32 years to the day. We didn't really plan it that way, but it kind of worked out that way. But our children, we only had two at that time. Our daughter, Krista, was born in Germany. But Andrew was three at the time when we left, and Stephen was, I think, 18 months. And I remember one of the first sermons I ever wrote or gave was based on Acts 13, where Paul and Barnabas were set aside as apostles to leave and do a missionary trip. And the title of my message was, "You can be called, but you have to be sent." So you are our sending church, so you're to blame. But we thank God for you. You had the vision with us and the grace with us, and you have supported us financially. You've supported us with your prayers, and as we were praying earlier before the service started today, I was thinking, what a wonderful heritage this church represents for us. A long journey in the same direction. You have held on for us. You've prayed with us, as Ruth mentioned, through difficult times. And we just bless the Lord for you. We thank you for your giving to what we call the Global Advance Fund, GAF, is how the schnitzel was put on our tables and the gas to drive on the Autobahn. That's one thing I really miss. Stu Coots and I would have a wonderful time on the Autobahn. Anybody probably, but what a wonderful thing you've put. Well, I tried to drive normally, 140 is the average, but and for the special projects, you helped us buy a car or a couple of cars along the way, and the special projects, and even of starting the church in Heidelberg these last 5.5 years. So thank you so much for the longevity of believing with us. And your sending wasn't just, okay, you're gone, but your continuing to journey with us was much appreciated.
Next slide shows you something that was very unexpected. And we're thankful for unexpected open doors. We've had a lot of those in 32 years, but the first one was the fall of the wall. I remember sitting in German class, probably in 1988, and we were learning things about the history of Germany, and we learned about the wall. And I remember very clearly someone asking our teacher, "Can you ever imagine this wall coming down?" And she said, "Not in my lifetime." And a year later, like less than a year later, the wall fell. And the wall fell. I don't know if you know all the story about it, but if you ever get a chance to watch a documentary, it is very amazing. First of all, there was a lot of prayer. There were people meeting in prayer meetings, and we've been in that church. There are just so many things around it, and it actually was almost, it was actually a mistake that this announcement was made that people could go through, and then it was just like a dam breaking. And so that also opened opportunity for us and for missionaries to go into an area that for 40 years had been closed to the gospel. And 40 years of atheism had taken its toll and still has its effect today. But because of this, we were able to send some people in. We didn't go ourselves at that time. But we recruited some people. We sent some of our team members into Eastern Germany. And I just want to highlight one thing. Again, not everything that we started there stayed. There were seeds that were planted. But one of the amazing stories is the next slide, the Berlin International Community Church. This church, we recruited someone who had started a CMA, an international church in Paris, and was kind of finished there, and they came and started in Berlin. This church went through some really rough times at the beginning, but Stephen, Karen, Mack, and their kids stayed there and were just full of faith, and today it's one of the largest churches in Berlin. They meet in a Cinemax theater in Potsdamer Platz, which is just right in the center of Berlin, and they have three services in this big cinema. I think they're in the biggest one now. They have about 600 people each time, and what we love is that almost every Sunday they have people come to Christ. They have people get saved. Last year, 450 people got saved in that church. I don't know anywhere in Germany or in Europe where that is happening in that kind of way. So we're extremely excited to see what God did when people held on to him and held on to what they believe he'd called them to do. It also enabled us, as the next slide is our time here. You can see Krista would love it if she knew we were showing this picture. Well, all our kids, they'd probably be embarrassed at all these slides being shown. We had 6 months in Canada. We lived in Tawasin here. And as we went back after this time, we were also able to go into Poland and to do some recruiting and some you know, just checking out, some meeting some pastors there. And there's also was an international, there are some Polish churches that were planted then, but there was also an international church in Warsaw, which now is big enough that they sent their pastor, who were international workers, the Orrs, who are also from our district, they have sent them into northern Iraq now. So that church is now a sending church as well. It's exciting to see what God does.
During those years living in Mannheim, and that slide prayer card kind of represents that time. We were doing these kind of research trips and studying and surveying into Eastern Germany and then also into Poland, as Ruth said. And during that time, we really come to Germany to plant a church ourselves, but we weren't able to do that. I was given some administrative leadership roles and was at Black Forest Academy on their board for a while. But we lived in the city, and God gave us contacts in the east part of the city where we started an evangelistic Bible study. It's a long story how that all came about. But over a period of several years, we saw many people come to Christ by simply studying the Gospel of John. It overwhelmed these people with Lutheran and Catholic backgrounds, but they didn't know Christ. They had some religious upbringing, but they never encountered Christ. And so as we went through week after week the Gospel of John, one after the other, lights went on, mouths dropped, jaws dropped, and people came to Christ, and we saw some baptized as well. And it started to show, become kind of a basis for one day starting a church. One of the first people that came to Christ through that study, through that Bible study, was Dr. Ralph Oyler, if you go to the next slide. I think that's probably from the early 90s, just judging by how old Krista looks, but it wasn't from 1990 or 91. But Dr. Oyler was brought up in Eastern Germany, escaped with his mother and brother into the West, and became a doctor, married his wife, Maria Clara, and we got to know this family. And they're the ones that hosted this Bible study in their very nice living room. And if you go to the next slide, you'll see this is Ralph, who is the first German that we led to Christ now just a few months ago. They're still following the Lord. They're still having a Bible study in their living room. They're still seeing people encouraged and following the Lord with us. And so we're so encouraged at the many years of just seeing what God did in their lives.
Kind of brings us into a phase that was really difficult for us. And many of you remember you prayed for us through this time where we sort of thought, what are we doing here? Like, we just, things are very, very slow starting. maybe we're not called. It was kind of the time when one of us was ready to get on the next airplane, but the other one was, no, we're called here. So it was also the beginning. It was the first start of what became House to Hand. We'll tell you a bit more about what that is today. But again, just the idea that when you're in something, you don't know the end of it. You're in there, and all you can see is your circumstance right then, but you don't know what God's doing. And we can just trust that he's always working good, working for our good. The next slide is just thankful. We're thankful for faithful companions. You'll notice a lot of these pictures, we have the same clothes on, and we're in the same setting. So a lot of these pictures were taken at a goodbye celebration that we had in May, the end of May. And we were able to see a lot of people, some we hadn't seen for years, some we've been traveling with the whole time. But Erhard has been a very faithful companion. He was in One of the Alliance churches, at the very beginning, then he moved to another one where we were. He was in Mannheim with us, and now he's in the church we talked about in Loas, where our son and daughter-in-law are also part of that fellowship. He's just been there all the time, and we're so thankful for people who have been faithful and for you who prayed for us during those times when things were not looking good.
We came back to this fine area in 1999. If you go to the next slide, it was taken in the backyard. We lived in a nice bungalow in Ladner. It kind of backed onto a grass area, and at the end of that grass area is where Howard and Diane Smid lived back in the day. They had a pool back there, so it was a nice hop over the fence into their pool. But so we were back home from 99 to 2000 during that time, and the first 6 months, our kids were saying, do we have to be here? We want to be back in Germany. The last 6 months, they were saying, do we have to go back to Germany? We'd rather stay here. And I think a big part of that, we just thank God for you, how you embraced our children as we spent this year here. And Ruth and I were speaking in churches all over the place. And somehow, they would make their way here. Smids would pick them up. Somebody else would pick them up, bring them to the service here. They were part of the youth group, and they were called the German boys, at least Stephen and Andrew. And they were called other things at school, but I won't mention that. But you looked after them. You cared for them. And why else would they say, the last 6 months, we really have to go back? We'd rather stay here. So thank you for caring for us, even in those months of traveling. And we thank God for how you touched our lives through your caring for them at that time. The next slide is just a couple of years later. I think it was one of the, I don't know where it was taken, but it was a time when we came back, and as Ruth said, we did have some struggles at the beginning of that time. Going back, Ruth had some health issues. We were sending Andrew off to Black Forest Academy. It was his own decision. He wanted to study in English. They'd grown up in this German school system. He wanted to study in English before he came back to Canada to study in university. So we are so grateful for how you carried us in that time. And you were praying, and we had breakthroughs. There are many stories that could be told during this time of transitioning back, leaving or having Andrew leave our home in Germany and going down to the southern part of Germany. I want to share what I call a Thanksgiving nugget. It's not chicken. It's not turkey. I don't know what it is, but it's a Thanksgiving nugget. We're going to pop a few in here if you're paying attention. I was going to give a prize for those who could remember them all, but it's not going to work. Here's a Thanksgiving nugget. Things that we've been learning, what God has been teaching us. Thanksgiving is a supernatural activity. In the face of circumstances, in the face of, like Ruth said, when everything isn't going well, Thanksgiving, we're called to be thankful at all times, is a supernatural activity. Right in the face of things that are not encouraging, are not faith-giving, but Thanksgiving is a supernatural activity. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. How is that possible? This is not something you could do in the natural, but it is a supernatural activity. It says in the same context, Ephesians chapter 5 is this wonderful passage in two verses earlier about the filling of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a continual thing that we do, that we seek the filling of God's Spirit. We want to be day by day filled anew with the Spirit. So this is only possible to be giving thanks at all times, Ephesians 5 verse 20, when His Holy Spirit fills us, because we can't do it in the natural. I say it in another way. Giving thanks at all times is something that is only possible living in the realm of the King and His kingdom. It's not possible in our own ability, in our own natural resources, but if we take the authority of living as sons and daughters of the King of Kings, we can do that in any circumstance. Paul said, I've learned to be content in every circumstance. He learned to reign over the circumstances. Some of you know my father. He would, when he greet people, "Oh, how are you doing?" "Well, under the circumstances, not so great." You'd say, "What are you doing under the circumstances?" Giving thanks is a supernatural activity. One of the hallmarks of people who live in the kingdom is that they are a very grateful people. We had over the years in when we worked in Mannheim and finally moved from leading a Bible study to some first attempts at starting a church. It kind of fell apart and we started over again. But was that we had some interns. They came from the United States, CMA young adults, and we had a few from Canada. But if you go to the next slide, I think one of the first interns we had, short-term thing, was on the right, this young man named Simon Martin. He came, I think, in a summertime, and he and Andrew did sports clubs, basketball camps, taught Germans how to play baseball and football, American football, not soccer, but throwing that round thing. And God used him, and I remember Simon, we were at Jack and Adrian's place some time ago, and they showed us a video of Simon preaching to these young Africans in their context. And I said, I couldn't help but think of Simon giving his testimony with Andrew translating it to German to this sports camp. And here he is years later preaching and teaching young Africans and saying, you know, has anybody here ever fought a lion? Like telling the story of Daniel. Yeah, five hands go up. Yeah, we fought lions before. He says, I love what I'm doing. We had many other interns along the way. And at one point, I think we had five interns. It was the most bizarre time of our lives, trying to encourage and build up. But that's part of the calling that God gave us. If you go to the next slide, the next year, this is the last slide or prayer card we had as a complete family, because then that year, Andrew had finished Black Forest Academy and went back to Canada. And that next year, 2003, if you go to the next slide, we met Andale and Jesse. They're on the left in that slide, Andale's sister on the right, Silke. And we're so thankful. I mean, this whole Thanksgiving season, people ask us, so how are you handling being back in Canada and the grieving of the loss of leaving Germany and all that you're doing there? I said, all of these hard feelings or difficult emotions, they're all landing on a huge pillow or like a cloud of thanksgiving. Our hearts are so full. And one of the ways we've been just so thankful and grateful to the Lord is having met Andale and Jesse in 2003. They asked us, would you take us on as interns for a year? And we said, yes, we would. We had our initial breakfast meeting with them, just getting to know them a bit better. And when they left, Ruth and I said to each other, that couple, this is 2003, they're going to be the leaders someday of this church that we called House to Sand. And 5 years later, 2008, we did lay hands on them, commission them with others as a leadership team to be the new leaders. So we thank God for them. If you go to the next slide, we were there. They farewelled us at the end of June, I believe it was, and you see the size of that congregation. There were moments in our story with House to Sand, 10, 12 people, we thought, where Ruth said, are we really cut out for this? We're not really making any progress. But in one of those meetings where maybe 15 people had a large building that would seat 150, the Lord said to us in the middle of that context, someday this building will not be big enough for what God is going to do. And sure enough, that day came, and we were bursting at the seams. And so on an average Sunday, there's 180 to 200 people meeting in a community hall, 16 house groups spread all across the city. They've sent out five missionaries over these 20-some years. And one of the young men who's on the leadership team now was 10 years old when he came 20-some years ago. Now he's a doctor, married to a doctor, two boys, and they're on the leadership team. And I said to him, his name is Mark. So, Mark, how many people? You've been here longer than anybody else, longer than we have. We were only there that part of the leadership for 10 years. How many people do you think have been touched and come through, especially students, because it's a university city? He said, well, conservatively, I would say 2,000. It's more like 2,500, maybe even 3,000 over these 20 years have come through what is called House of Sam. And you're to blame. You sent us out, and God put something in our hearts. He said, reach out to students. We'll tell you the whole story, but he gave us a passion for students, and this is what the fruit of which we give thanks to God for, and thank you for helping us in those days.
Now some of those students who came through House of Han are in China, in India, with business, but they're seeing themselves as kingdom workers in those places. There's some in South America that have had different ministry things. There's some in Africa. So, it's just exciting to see, and in all different parts of Germany, and we just had the privilege of seeing a few and connecting with a few just before we left. So encouraging to see what God did. We came back, and we were just the two of us then. We were empty nesters. Krista went to Black Forest Academy. Stephen went for a year to Sydney, Australia, to Hillsong. So we were getting used to being on our own, but still filling our lives with people that we mentored. And the next slide shows you some of the people, again, from our goodbye party. The big picture is with a couple named David and Sylvia, who are the leaders of the church in Loche. And again, they're following the same pattern that we set up in Mannheim, that there's no one full-time. They have full-time jobs. They're working as a team so that no one's carrying the whole load, and they're able to sustain this ministry and work combination. So the church there is about 70 people now, with I think 5 or 6 house groups. Our kids are also involved there. They also have a prayer house and a worship ministry where they do seminars and songwriting seminars, and are serving many churches in the area. So it's really exciting to see what God did there. The top picture on the other side is a couple, Holm and Nazira, who we mentored as they got ready to go as missionaries, first of all to Azerbaijan, and then they weren't able to stay there, so they ended up in Georgia. Not that Georgia, but the Georgia that was sent in Central Asia. And so they're back right now because of just wanting to be around for their kids' sake, but their hearts are still so much for what God is doing in the nations, and particularly in that part of the world. They're planning on going back at some point. And the bottom picture, a couple, Marcos and Anna, who were in our church in Mannheim, and they asked us, he was studying theology, and he knew that, statistically speaking, a lot of people study theology in Germany and lose their faith. And so they asked us to mentor them and keep them accountable. And so they have been able to walk some of that tricky political road sometimes. And he is now a Lutheran pastor in the city of Fienheim, which was one of the very first churches, Alliance churches, that we helped out with. So it's very interesting to see. There were some people at this goodbye party who are from Fienheim, from that church we originally helped with. And they're like, isn't he the Lutheran pastor? How do you know him? And so it was really interesting just to see how God has connected things and how some things come full circle.
And the next slide is one of our interesting pictures. This was taken at Deep Cove. I don't know if you notice how wonderful my hair looks at that time. But this head of hair that I had is because as many of you know, I had a session with leukemia and chemo, and I lost my hair, and it came back in a way that I thought, I love to keep my hair this way. If there's any good benefit out of having leukemia, it would be having this wonderful head of hair. But with every haircut, it was quite large at one point. With every haircut, it just went straight, and so we're back to normal. A little more white, I guess. But so from the years 2011 to 13, we were here in Canada, living in Ocean Park. Many of you came to visit me while I was in the hospital and out at our suite in Ocean Park. And the sense of community and care and praying and believing God that you demonstrated to us was unbelievable. And I've sometimes said, I wouldn't want to repeat what I went through and what we went through together, but I would never want to miss what God worked in our hearts. The sense of his presence. You can't manufacture these things. But It's one of those side benefits, one of those fruits of what God did in that time. Such a traumatic time. But thank you to Washington Alliance Church for staying with us, for praying, laying on hands. Elders came and prayed, and one time came and prayed because I'd lost so much weight. Prayed, this is a Wednesday night, prayed that I would gain weight. And by Saturday, I gained 2 pounds, which is pretty amazing. And Ruth kept saying, make sure you're praying for Ralph. You know, get that straight, who you're praying for.
We were very thankful that we got the all clear from the doctor to return to Germany. And we're running a bit late, so I'm going to just try and move quickly. But we want to tell you what is happening now and what's continuing on in the city of Heidelberg. God called us very clearly to Heidelberg. After Mannheim, we were just not sure where we should go and have been praying about that. And so he opened some amazing doors for us there, also with the state church, with the Lutheran church. Actually, the woman who's the bishop of the Lutheran church in the city asked us if we would do our ministry in English. And so although we were planning on having German ministry as we'd had in Mannheim, we said, sure, we can do that. And it opened many doors for us. The Lutheran church allowed us to use some of their beautiful buildings. And I really believe that all of these open doors and the quick access that we had into the city was because we committed right when we first came, okay, with our team, and I'll talk about our team in a minute, we're going to pray four to five times a week for an hour, and we're going to just invest those hours in prayer for the city. And it was amazing as we did that, first of all, how God brought us together as a team, and then also the doors that he opened up in the city. We have a really good friend now who has been there for 20 years, and he said, I can't believe the doors that have been opened to you in this time. One of the things about Heidelberg, the next slide, is that it's a city full of internationals. There are international students and international business people and postdoctoral researchers and scientists and all kinds of people from all over the world. You can't really tell in that picture, but there are people from seven nations, from Nigeria, Germany, Canada, Spain, Korea, India, South Africa. So it's been a very colorful time that we've had, and we love it. We love working with internationals. And we've realized that many of these people come from places where they haven't had an opportunity to hear the gospel or to be discipled. And so it's been exciting to have the opportunity to disciple some of them, to pray for them, to bless them, and send them back on their way again.
And if you see the next slide, you'll notice the joy that's in some of the people that have been baptized over the last few years. Annalie on the left, who is Mexican. Achil from India on the right. Annalie was baptized in the Neckar River right along the old part of the city. And Achil was baptized in a creek at a retreat time. And Achil's story especially is so amazing. Came to Christ in a new way. Went through some really difficult times personally and made some decisions that were not good. He repented of these things, and God just forgave him so amazingly. He was so filled with joy. Joy was what was characterizing his life, and he became very infectious. If you were around him, you started smiling, if not laughing. He was just so filled with the joy of the Lord and so set free. And here's another Thanksgiving nugget for you. Thanksgiving has a twin sister, and her name is Joy. Thanksgiving has a twin sister, and her name is Joy. Wherever there is Thanksgiving, it is almost always accompanied by joy. If you're seeing people who are thanks or who are full of thanks, there's also joy there. Philippians 4:4-6. First part says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and then later I'm kind of making my own, not translation, but summarizing of these passages. Rejoice in the Lord always. There's one thing about joy. Second thought is, don't worry. Instead, pray with thanksgiving about everything. So in the same context, Paul is talking about joy and thanksgiving. Or Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. Give joyful thanks to the Father. So Thanksgiving has a twin sister. Her name is Joy. One of the most joyful times I had in the last few years, if you go to the next slide, was seeing the salvation of and baptism of about 80 Iranians. I can't remember if we told you about some of these stories, but with the influx of refugees in 2015 and into 2016, God gave us the opportunity to disciple 12 young Iranian men, and then we taught these sessions of teaching with larger groups of Iranians from other parts of the area, not just from Heidelberg. But we saw many of these refugees come to Christ. And I just realized how redemptive Jesus is. He can make the best of situations. That's why we can pray with thanksgiving, because we're praying in faith. God, I don't know what you'll make out of this, but you always are so redemptive. You can make good out of pain.
And as we said, we loved having interns, and as part of our team, I hope you recognize these faces, these lovely people. I'm just going to call them J and M because it's being recorded. they were with us. J was with us for 2 years and M for the last year. They got married in between, and we loved having them in our team. They were just wonderful, and they're now in a Central Asian country. So don't forget to pray for them, and we're just so thrilled that you have adopted them. So as we're phasing out and they're just starting, it's really exciting for us to have some people actually who apprentice with us to be adopted by you now. And also, I'm going to just show you a short video, and you'll see Carissa Gilbertson, who also apprenticed with us at the same time. Well, she came a year into that, and she apprenticed with us for 2 years. She became an official Alliance worker, international worker, as we call it, IW. And she is now leading the team. There are three of them leading together, and they've taken over, and they're doing a great job. So I just want to show you this video. Will give you a little bit of a picture. Some of you have been at our apartment, and you might recognize some of those pictures as well, starting out.
Makes me want to be back there, but we're glad to be here. Just two more slides. One is just of our family, our children. You saw right from the beginning, and here we are just in the spring. They came for the farewell party that we had. And Andrew, Stephen, and Krista, ASK, people used to ask us, so what are your kids' name? Yeah, ask. ASK. Oh, okay, I get it, ASK. Andrew and his family are in Calgary. Stephen, as Ruth mentioned, in Loche, part of the church there. And Krista lives in Medicine Hat with her husband and their two children. 8 grandchildren. What a joy. So this next slide is our final prayer card. What would you put on the front of a prayer card when you've spent 32 years in Germany and you can't reference Germany somehow? We're not there anymore. It's a picture from Germany. But we just thought, well, God, you called us to fuel passion for Jesus, our King, and his kingdom. And that does not stop. And that's what we want to do, especially this year of home assignment until next summer, and just sharing the passion for Jesus and his kingdom. But we thank you for investing in our lives. And one final little word from a little Thanksgiving nugget. It's from the Message Translation, Philippians 4, verse 7. It's not I don't have a phrase for it, but listen to this verse in the Message Translation. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Rejoice in everything. Give thanks as you pray about everything. So thank you. I want to just offer a prayer of thanks, and I believe someone is coming up here to do something else. Would you stand with me? We give you all the glory, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your faithfulness. We pour out our hearts to you in thanksgiving. You've been so faithful. Thank you for this people who have journeyed with us, this family of believers, this community of faith. Thank you for their role. We rejoice. We give thanks together to you for your goodness, for your plans, for your purposes, for your desires to see the nations come to know you. Thank you that we can worship you. We give you our thanks. We thank you for your very real presence. Thank you that you encourage us and that we can be supernatural living in a kingdom that is far different than this world and what it has to offer. You promise us peace that this world cannot offer. You promise us the power to give you thanks in all circumstances. And so we bless you that you are that kind of God. I thank you that you love the nations, and I thank you that you're using this congregation to make an impact in this community, and we give ourselves to you, King Jesus, that your name might be made more sweet on our own lips, and that we would not be able to hold back sharing how much you love us. Give us thankful and grateful hearts. You are worthy of our praise and our trust. I bless your holy name, and may this congregation be known for their hearts of thanksgiving in all circumstances, unusual characteristics of this place and this people. May it become a center of renewal, a center of revival, a launching pad for many more people into neighborhoods and into nations. For the sake of your great name, Jesus. Amen.
Hang around here for a minute.
I'm sorry we took more time.
Pardon me?
I'm sorry we took more time.
That's okay. I'm going to take a little more time just because I had the privilege with a couple of other couples to visit them in Heidelberg back in 2016. So I have a couple of reminiscences I'd just like to mention. One of my reminiscences is gathering in the prayer room. I don't know if you guys remember at the beginning of the video, you could see the little area outside where they were gathered, and there was this nice steeple next to it. Right inside that steeple is their prayer room, which is amazing, and it looks right over the whole city of Heidelberg. And so we had an opportunity to just meet there with your leadership team from New Song, and we prayed and we sang, and it was just a wonderful time to pray together. Another opportunity we had was to go to the church in Haus der Herren in Mannheim, and again, that was a marvelous opportunity. to see the people there actually moved, as Adrian gave greetings from Tawasin Alliance, and for them to respond just knowing that the people here had prayed for them. They were so happy and so thankful. Just a shout out to the Women's Missionary Prayer Fellowship, because I know those folks have been praying for many, many years. And I'm sure you felt the impact of those prayers. So that was an excellent time. And then lastly, I have a special memory of standing out in the street in front of the old Lutheran church on a Thursday evening, inviting people into an English service that you guys were having that evening, and just watching the people come in and watching them respond in English, and just responding to the testimonies and the worship. It was just a marvelous time. So we thank you for all that work you've been doing. I'm going to ask the elders to come up, those that are here with us, and we're just going to spend a moment praying for you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, John.
So let's pray. We want to thank you, Lord, for giving such good fruit.
Bless you, Lord.
As they labored in Mannheim and in Heidelberg, and for those years, even during the tough years, Lord, you were steadfast and you carried them through. Thank you, Lord, for bringing in a new team to help as they continue the work and extend the kingdom in Germany. Father, we want to pray for your care in this new season as they minister here at home. And we pray particularly for Ralph's health, that it will continue to improve.
Bless you, Lord.
And we ask, Lord, for your hand on them. And finally, Lord, we pray for opportunities for them to teach and to encourage our churches with their messages of God's provision and his steadfast love.
Yeah.
We thank you for them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord.